Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, and this is Thursday. Don't be confused. It's Thursday, y'all. That's Chuck D. Welcome to the Terror Dome. You know how we do. Yeah, it's Thursday, but we're going on a Thursday, man. That's what's happening. I got to turn that off a little bit so you can hear what I'm saying, but check it, man. Check it. Listen, you know, we got a lot of stuff happening. Cats talking about they want to have executive privilege. You got to be an executive to exert the executive privilege. Man, we need to go back to civics and people learning history. History, another third rail, right? Learning civics and history, it's another third rail. Did I say this is K-Sun? I'm K-Sun and friends, Wayne Gilman, Byron Saunders. But yeah, like I was saying, going back to history, history is another, seems to be another third rail, right? Because these people, they want to come down on people. I was just watching, and you know, we watch Joy Reid on this show, me and the fellas. And watching Joy Reid's show about a sister who tried to introduce, who was the superintendent of a school system in Maryland, and tried to introduce Black Lives Matter and George Floyd to some historical context. And brought it up, sent out an email, and of course, you know who, the peoples got mad and got upset because black people want to talk about history. And I don't know why people are so surprised. This country has never taught history. It's taught, well, yeah, history, his story, right? The way you break it down. Not truth story, the truth of the story. They've never taught it. And so now to be surprised that these people are having all of these reactions because we want to teach about slavery and what really went down, it's no surprise, man. It's no surprise. And you've heard me say this on the show before, that these individuals, these supremacists, white supremacists, like I said before, not all white people believe in or practice white supremacy. But there are enough of them, and enough of them that enable them throughout the entire history of this country for white supremacy to succeed. And for those people who claim they didn't believe it and didn't support it, but were silent and benefited from the advantages they received as being happening to be white and as being a member of that community, enjoyed the benefits, the preferential treatment of being a person in a supremacist society. And so it's no surprise to me that all these years later, they're still on the same tip, man. Like you've heard me say before, when my mom was still living, that the Republican Party is now has now become the White Citizens Council, you know, the Dixiecrats, right? You have Joe Manchin and this Christian Semina, the Dixiecrats. And they all of them are against the full liberation and self-determination of us as a people. And look at what they're trying to do, change the rules that they set up. And I say this, and I say it again, and I've said it before, and those individuals sitting in there and writing this great document, all of these slave owners hail this documented history, and even their descendants now, they all promulgate the Constitution as the greatest document in human history, except for the fact that the individuals writing it really didn't believe that all men are created equal because they had their slaves across the way in a barn. So they really didn't believe that. It was just a PR statement. It was the public statement, as all of these individuals do. I trust none of them. Sorry. I trust not the ones that claim to be on our side, except for the ones who have been on our side for a long time and been speaking truthfully. Not the ones who talk up both sides of their mouths, you know, or the ones who have now found the seen the light of their ways and no longer are members of the Republican Party, but spent all of their lives building the foundation for what is going on now. But they want to, and right on, you know, they got the whole organization, the Third Republican Party, convincing Republicans to vote for Democrats, because clearly the Democratic Party, as it looks now, is the only party that is thinking about America. And these individuals, you know, they want America to go back to being a white supremacist system, really. You know, the fact that we can talk, that these news agencies and all these talking heads on TV talk about Donald Trump as if it is okay that he even be considered talking about him running for president. It should be a non-starter. It should be, he should never run for president. We're not going to talk about it because he shouldn't even be in it. I understand you want to talk about it and stay up to date and see what all these rallies are doing and all these people who want to, you know, have their rights supersede everybody else's rights. I understand that. I'm getting distracted because this whole crazy Take Back Virginia rally that these people have going on, they're serious about their supremacy. And regardless of what they say, I got sidetracked. I was talking about these individuals who are talking heads and all of these correspondents and experts and all these people who don't stop the notion right at the very beginning. This guy should not be running for president. He should not be taken seriously. But they talk about it. And the more they talk about it, it becomes an acceptable subject, doesn't it? It becomes some, maybe, just like they're trying to change up what happened on January 6th. They're trying to work against people teaching critical race theory because they heard somewhere, it's not even taught in public schools from what we understand, right? In law schools, it's a notion, it's an idea, a theory, but they heard even the fact that it's being taught somewhere in the universe. And what do they do? They're showing a picture of Nazis on the Chris Hayes show, and it's very apropos. Just the fact that we're talking about having our rights, having the history, the despicable history of what many of these individuals engaged in, the fact that you would speak it out loud, these people want their heads to be cut off. Said this woman in Maryland got death threats, called her all kind of names because she was talking about, because white kids that learn about slavery might start to feel guilty. I've never encountered any of that. Never. None of these people feeling guilty. Maybe they do. I don't know. Or maybe they just choose, I don't want to be that. I don't want to engage in that type of behavior. Is that the real history of this? I don't want to be a part of it. That's what they're worried about. That their own dastardly and evil and despicable deeds will become so apparent and clear to their offspring that they will be shunned as they should be. These supremacists, these evil, evil people. They don't even have to, they're not even going by the rules that they established. Like this criminal, Steve Bannon, who's going to get a subpoena from Congress, Congressional Committee, and they're blowing him off. This guy's trying to somehow get over on the executive privilege that Trump is trying to claim, but he's not in office. So Steve Bannon knows that. He knows more about the system than Donald Trump. He knows that that's not legitimate, but they don't care. It's not for them. It's not working out for them. So they're willing to tear the whole shit down. The Daughters of the Republic, right? The Confederacy, Daughters of the Confederacy. If you look it up online, you can see a very simple video on YouTube about how they lobbied to change the image of the Confederacy, how they lobbied that have textbooks. This was, I guess, in the 1800s or the 1900s or whatever. These women lobbied so that textbooks would be changed and they would change history and make up a history. You know, I jokingly said over the course of my life, if they changed the way Jesus looked, everything else is up for grabs, isn't it? It's made up history, this mythology about this country that these individuals tell themselves so they can feel better about themselves. And so they don't feel guilty about the devastation and the carnage, the real American carnage that they brought upon this nation, this land. The first, the indigenous people who were here, and then the people they brought over here, then everybody else who doesn't look like them, who they choose to act like, they're the problem. They stole this land, man. They stole half the inventions. They claim credit for the inventions that came out. They steal people's cultures. Look at pop culture nowadays. Look at how white kids act. Look at how all the kids act, but particularly people who are non-black, right? There's a whole swag. There's a whole flavor that they have. Even the way they talk, the mannerisms sometimes. I'm watching some mannerisms that some of these young white kids have now. It is blackness. It is influenced by blackness. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm going to bring the brothers in here. It's just more another day in America. Let's bring in Brother Byron Saunders, the legendary historian. How you doing, Byron? What's going on, brother?
Well, I see you fighting the power this evening, my brother. You know, I think
always.
That's a very good thing. So I'm down here in D.C. fighting the power. You know, why even read the Sunday comics when I can turn on ESPN, CNN, MSNBC, and I dare not turn on the comic book station Fox News. I don't need to go that far or that deep, but I'll tell you this much. Until America, hear me this and hear me clear, until you convict, charge, arrest, walk out in a perp suit and convict these treasonous traitors, you cannot fix your justice system. You can't even fix your democracy. You can't fix voting rights. You can't fix anything because you're a lawless nation right now. And in order to get back to law and order, stop trying to pick up the guy off the street, the vagrant. He hadn't committed any law than being poor. He hasn't, you know, being poor is criminal in this country. But obviously being rich, you can do anything you want to do. And I concur with you, my brother. You know, this country, I'm going to say it again, will never get right until you arrest, starting with the number 45 on down. Steve Bannon needs to be walked in handcuffed to the floor of the Senate or the Congress or that committee and then taken back out. In fact, the charging of arms, in my opinion, constitutionally, if the chair, Speaker of the House, allows lies into the record, they from the chair can immediately censor what they're trying to put into the record, changing the history and lying about everything. And I'm telling you, because if you start stripping them and censor them, restricting them of their votes, you cannot have a filibuster. You don't have enough people. This is what has to happen, Eric. So you stop all the BS. This is drama to the highest point of drama. But constitutionally, within the law, white folks, use the law on yourself. You've been doing it on us for 400 years. It's time for y'all to bring the hammer of law down on your own people because we're not the ones messing up the country, not people of color. It's your own people. And you've allowed them to run rampant in the streets. You had zombies crawling the Capitol wall. white zombie terrorists. Get the words together because they all should be arrested, charged with treason in the highest form of treason. And thank goodness, well, I don't know, the Supreme Court still wants to verify and validate death penalty because in the clause that's in the Constitution that says criminals who commit treason can be put in jail for 10 years, fined for a certain amount of money, or executed. That's what they did in the old days, didn't it, Eric? Didn't they take him out there in the yard and shoot him?
That's right. That's what they did to traitors. And these
that's
people
right.
are traitors. You know,
they're traitors. They're criminals, and that's
if you can't even live up to the words that you, the rules, and the guidelines that you've established, and you're just establishing them so you can pimp them and expect everybody else is going to sit idly by. See, that's the thing that I think that they're underestimating. They're underestimating the good graces and the patience of people who are on the other side. You know, there's a whole lot of people that they don't see that don't come out. And that are just as rah-rah with it like these people. They like to be real rah-rah with it until you get up in their grill. And then what happens? Well, a lot of them kind of shrink away. That's why they rolled up on the Capitol when the other team wasn't there. I've said this, I don't know if I said it on the show, but that's why their football team rolled up and beat up our band members when our football team was away, was not around. You know? That's some cowardly shit.
Well, we know that. I find it very interesting.
Cowards.
Yeah. But see, that's part of the matrix of what's going on right now. That justice is just for me and you, people of color. It's not justice for them. It's a whole nother level where you can buy your way in, buy your way out. You know, if you pay a fine, that'll be okay too. You can still walk away. I mean, who pays a $25 million fine for fraud for Trump University, for fraud through the state of New York and is still allowed to walk around? I think that person is guilty, don't you?
Somebody who's got a hookup. There's a hookup going on somewhere.
I'm trying to figure this out.
A boy, Eddie Goldman said, some individuals are complicit. We cannot get this stuff on track. Let's bring in Wayne. Give him the floor.
Yes, hello,
Wayne Gilman. What's up?
Hey, greetings, everyone. Greetings. I tell you, Eric Payne, if I didn't know any better, I would say that you have a line tapped to my landline at home, and you heard my conversation with my cousin last night. Because somehow he calls me some minutes to almost midnight to tell me, you know, you need to call Sharpton. You need to call Sharpton and have Sharpton get in contact with Nancy Pelosi, put together a bill to stop Trump from running in 2024 because of all these legal issues that he's facing, and that the Democrats have got to show more spine, and blah, 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 and we got Schumer, and Schumer's in the Senate, and Kamala Harris would be the deciding vote, blah, blah, blah. You know, we got to stop what's going on instead of sitting up here with, you know, hearings about an insurrection and what's going on with the infrastructure. And I said, well, listen, Mr. Polygram Records, Mr. MCA, Mr., you know, all you did in your past, let me give you some signs here that there's a due process about having things done a certain way. I am just as frustrated as you and the next guy who sees what's going on, that seems to have a berth with the conservative press and is doing a lot to shove more misunderstanding in the American populace about what is happening out here, but we still have to go through the process. And what I'm worried about at this stage of the game, and after talking for like well into the night about this issue, one thing I have to say that Trump, you know, has basically exposed the frailties of our democracy. He has done so much to show, you know, racism could easily rear its head at a minute's notice, that there are all sorts of things that could be done to trouble the system, but we still have a system to go by. I understand what you're saying about the Republican Party. You know, as much as I used to talk trash about George W. Bush and his daddy, when I think of that era of Republican politics compared to what's going on now, you know, there is no democracy going on. They only think a certain way. And, you know, and I just hope that the Democratic powers that be at this point, you know, are looking at this as they would look at Al Capone back in the day and make sure that, you know, we may not put you away for murder, but we're going to put you away for your taxes and everything else. We're going to throw away the freaking key that you would never see the light of day. And your children and your children's children would also be held up in the same situation, because it's despicable what goes on. Where the hell does Steve Bannon get off, you know, with this freaking double standard? I don't care how many lawyers you bring forth, you know? It's stupid.
I also think, quite frankly,
that the Democrats need to sit here and think of Biden as being a one-time president, that he may not make it to the second term, but have somebody in place. And I love my sister Kamala Harris, but I'm not sure if she's up for the, you know, I'm not saying this to throw shade on her, because I was all in favor of her being appointed during the position of vice president. But I just think that this country, they may be ready for a woman, but they're not ready for a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
When you brought all this up, you regurgitated, you know. It just got to me.
This country was never a democracy. To me, I question whether it was ever really a democracy. Clearly, it wasn't. And also, too, in the era of George Bush and people like that, Ronald Reagan, you know, it was polite racism, right?
Yeah.
That's what some people call polite racism.
But at least they had the Colin Powells, the Michael Steeles, the Condoleezza Rice, and you know, I mean, they were trying to make an effort, and as much as I hated her father, Liz Cheney, if those Republicans were to pull their forces and resources together and start another Republican Party, not a Tea Party, but a Republican Party that we don't always agree with everything that you're talking about, but at least try to carry or continue the tradition. Because what's going on here is, as Byron has been saying for months, it's sedition, man. It's you know.
They're polite, and one thing they realize, I think, the difference between them and these people, these ill-informed, clearly uneducated people nowadays, is that nowadays, just that, they're ignorant, ill-informed, and they don't care. I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, yeah, we're going to do it by the book and we have some rules, but when you take people, that's literally what they did. They took the rule book and said, we're not going to pay attention to that. We're not playing that no more. It's anarchy. We're just going for ours. That's what they're doing. And they're trying to go for theirs, like, to the point, like, make it, and I said this before too, make America an apartheid system, minority rule of majority. That's what they're trying to do.
Oh.
And they're very,
so
they're
the
very
question. The question needs to be asked then, does the United States government, federal part of this, accede to the right-wing element and let them destroy America? Because I remember 750,000 men and women died in the Civil War, which established the federal authority of this country, so that by the time the 14th Amendment was guaranteeing that the southern states or 13th Amendment could get back into the Union, they had to swear allegiance to the federal government. I want to make sure that if indeed we are traveling down this road again, I want my federal government to rise up militarily and squash this roach.
Yeah.
Well, you can't have spies. I was going to say something really derogatory that they said in the movie Platoon, which was a Vietnam era movie. I'm not going to say it, but you can't have undercover individuals, you know, embedded individuals in that, because that's the problem. You do have these individuals.
See, my military training says,
They're embedded in the military too, as you well know.
Yeah,
and these people, they're a white supremacist prep that are embedded in all of these aspects. We don't know who they are until they rear their head, until they have an opportunity, like this guy, Jeffrey Clark, who was a low-level Justice Department person who was getting a come up because he was the one who was down with Trump trying to do his little political coup and trying to make a case for it. So they're embedded all over the place. You were going to say, Byron?
Absolutely, they're in bed, and that's the problem. See, as I said, that's how the Civil War actually got started, guys. Literally, that's how it got started. And then Calhoun, on one day in the Congress, determined and decided that he and the South Carolina and Virginia were going to secede from the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And then we know what the first shot that was fired, bang, it initiated it. So these fools, these clowns are trying to initiate a second civil war because they think because they have armament, which was allowed to be given to them by the Second Amendment, and then perverting the Second Amendment constitutionally because it never said that you could engage. In fact, let's just go right to the Supreme Court. What law class did these clowns in the last decision that gave Texas the opportunity to create, independent of our regulated militia, to deputize a gang of a gang? Go out.
What
and
do you
get
mean?
The,
what
we're
do,
not
what
gonna
do you
have
mean?
The police go get you. We won't have the police or the regular authorities turn you in because you have an abortion. But we'll give the authority to JQ citizens who is in this bill allowed to collect bounty. If you're just deputizing bounty hunters. So
right.
I want to know in what law school, what class, in what part of law school in this country, north, south, east, or west, did you read in that the Constitution gave you the authority?
None.
They made it up.
Well, that's what
we've
been saying. You've got to
flush the toilet, guys. Impeach these clowns they're not qualified. They are not qualified to be Supreme Court justice. And guess what? The Constitution says you can have them removed by impeachment.
Well, look, McConnell broke the operator standard operating procedure. When a whole year out, he wouldn't let Obama's candidates come. So they don't care about the rules. That's what I'm saying. And there's enough of them.
I'm with the woman down in Texas. I agree with the legislator in Texas who says, you know what, the entire Texas legislature on the GOP side should be charged with treason.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that. Yes,
that's why they came
he
to D.C.
is right.
Yeah.
And impeach them.
Well, there's a number
They're
of people in the Senate, in the House.
People.
There's a number of people in the Senate of the United States and the House of Representatives who should be, you know, who should receive the same treatment.
Like removed. That's right. Removed from, physically removed from the well of Congress. They don't have the authority to sit in a House, in a Congress, in a well, legislating law and order when they've broken the law. They committed the worst law that you can commit in this country, higher than killing somebody. They committed the crime of treason.
If you don't mind, I just want to ask, do you think the process, Byron and Eric, do you think the process is just way too slow?
I think the
process
demands accountability. The fact
that accountability
is slow,
for the insurrection,
to
get rid of those people.
It's okay.
People.
Now, here's the kind of answer to your question, Wayne, because if in the end game of the prosecuting and the committee, the January 6th committee, is to prosecute these clowns and put them in jail, I'm all in favor for the slowness of it because I want it done. If you're playing a game with me and using this as some kind of horse show where we bring you in and make it a, you know, CBS TV mystery of the week, come on. I'm not down with that. I don't give a hoot about that. I want my system to work as it has been outlined and defined. And when you start breaking it from the top down, why should I respect it? Why do I need to respect the law? Because you got a bunch of people out here going up to school board meetings who think that they can bring their political agenda into a public forum where kids are trying to learn something. No wonder they can't learn nothing, let alone critical race theory. The truth about today is trying to be whitewashed.
Yeah. Did you see that case in Texas where someone on a school board was instructing the administrative staff to tell the teachers in this particular district that you could talk about the Holocaust and mention everything that, since we have to have an open book about all that happened historically, talk about the Holocaust, but be sure to talk about the other side. And I'm just saying, wait a minute. There's only one freaking side to the Holocaust. I mean, I'm not Jewish, but there's only one side to the Holocaust. There's only one side to slavery.
Right. Well, that's what they were trying to do with the idea with the teaching of slavery, too. Talk about the other side and, you know, the whole, you know. I mean, that goes back to me, reminds me back of the old system where they had some books that saying the slaves were happy with their, you know, with their lifestyle, and it wasn't really slavery. And some people try to say they were indentured servants and all other kind of nutty. I mean, there's a person in my building who's a lawyer who was saying she read that, you know, people were all indentured servants and it wasn't necessarily slavery at one time. I was like, really? Where did you read this?
School did they go to?
And I started looking at her, but then I realized, yeah, she probably was miseducated along those lines. She probably did have someone teach her that bullshit because that's what they do. They made up their educational system. They made up this whole system of society, made it up as they see fit, and they develop the rules as they go along. And they pay attention to the rules as they feel like it. They tell everybody else, hey, follow these rules. Don't do as I do as I say. Therein lies the problem. And these individuals have been making this shit up for 400 years, man. 400 years they've been making up a lie about their history and all this. I mean, if you didn't, it's a shame now, and I'm finding that it's incumbent upon me at this age, and those of us that are a little older, to really try to educate the younger set, because clearly the educational system has not been doing it, and it's been highly politicized in a lot of, I think that was what part of the advent of charter schools, right? Have charter schools. It was educational, but also was that these people that had these charter schools could make up pretty much their own curriculum. They could have their own
class segregation.
Right. But they also could, whatever they wanted to have, I understood that some of them, they didn't have to, you know, they were making up their own curriculum. And certain things going by the state standards. So you got that happening, and then you got this. You know, these people, they just want to be told whatever they want to be told about themselves. And that's what's why I pretty much, it's unfortunate. But, you know, when I hear stuff from certain individuals, they have the burden of proving what they're saying, that they're not lying, because I assume them to be lying and making stuff up. And particularly from their perspective. You know, I listened to a brief clip on Facebook yesterday, Benjamin Crump at whatever firm he's at, or whatever people he was working with at one particular time, this law group he was affiliated with, and they said to him, everything isn't about race. And he obviously said, well, yes, it is. It is about race. You know, not all law is about race. You know, his perspective was a little bit different. You know, because he described a story about a woman's family going to get a settlement. Something, woman ended up dying or whatever, wrongfully. Something happened. And she was going to get a settlement. And part of the settlement that someone was making was $500,000, right? And so he was feeling like, you know, the family should get more than that. Her life was worth more than that, you know? And he said one of the other lawyers, people in the negotiations or whatever, said, I don't think that this woman ever in her life would have ever made $1 million. And Benjamin Crump said, well, you might be right about that, but her life was worth $1 million to somebody. Maybe not to you, maybe not to the system that you come from, but I bet you to her daughter. You know, but that was the assumption was because this black woman or whatever, this guy made this assumption. And so it is about race. It is about your preconceived notions that you already have about life. It is about that. You can just talk to some individuals and know where they stand along those lines. You can be in somebody's presence and know where they stand along the lines of race just mm-hmm. by their body language. All you got to do is walk in a room and you'll know who's cool with you and who's not, who's been around black people and who hasn't been.
Right.
And who just does not know what to do with them damn selves whenever they're around. So, you know.
Well, I don't know if that will ever change. I guess it depends on what you're exposed to. I mean, the world is getting smaller, but still, you know, it's scary.
Yeah.
Scary.
And we need to be just as vigilant as the other side is. We need to be making these plans like these other people, you know, and buying up all the provisions that they're buying, you know. Make sure you got everything that they got, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is, it's getting really ridiculous. This guy's, because of his lack, the previous ex-president, because of his lack of ability or lack of feeling like he needs to be the president of all people, caused this country to come to a standstill and lied about it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's daily life was interrupted, right? But even in that, and these people can't give a clear assessment of looking at this guy and say, well, did he handle this? You know, that's pretty much what you're doing, right? Your job as president, like I said before, the bottom line is to make sure the way of life that the average American has now is not grossly interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're struggling from day to day, working, you try to help them a little bit, but to don't interrupt. We're not a war-torn country. We're not devastated by devastating natural occurrences. We haven't up until recently had like a guy who was going to be a dictator who had dictator aspirations. So our daily life has been pretty much, you know, cool, right? It's not like we're living in Afghanistan. It's not like we're living in Haiti. It's not like we're living in these other parts of the world where those type of things, life-shattering, life-uprooting things happen on a daily basis until this individual came into office, right? And this devastating pandemic happened. He tried to weaponize it, couldn't get it, was lying about it to people. And to this day, we've had a devastating effect in this country. And still, white supremacy supersedes that. How many people have died
during
the pandemic, Byron? 600, 700,000? How many people America lost?
It's over 700,000 now. So, that's what I say. This is the Civil War that's almost matching the death of the first Civil War. And
mm-hmm.
people are trying to push a third one because they've been weaponized.
Right.
That's the best way to pull it. Not only with guns and bullets, but they're bulliness. Everybody is confrontational.
Right.
And we're living in that culture right now. And it's sad that that's because that America's democracy out of 240-some years, 235-plus years of those 240-some years have been in conflict.
Mm-hmm.
What do we know about peace, guys? What do we know about the idea and the concept of peace through diplomacy? Because we've been in a conflict after conflict after conflict, starting with the American Revolution. When you consider that, and in every piece of legislation that has been made to do layer, level the playing field. The undercurrent of leveling the playing field is a group of people, whether it's Democrats, Republicans, Whigs, or Tories, it doesn't even matter. Independents, you name their political affiliation, but there is a group that is determined to undercut the pureness of a concept.
Mm-hmm.
Every single law. I'm like getting to be like the Native Americans. White man speaks with forked tongue. Every law. Not
what
just
you say,
one, but every law. You know, white man speak like the native says. And I learned that in watching Cowboys and Indians. White man speak with forked tongue.
Yep.
Okay. And I mean, and when you think about even the commentary about Afghanistan, what were they saying? We betrayed our friends. We betrayed the people who were our friends giving us information, trying to set this thing up, and we walk away from them. We were engaged with a government that punked out after spending trillions of dollars of our money, can't get enough to fix a damn bridge in this country because we got trillions of dollars being wasted on a battlefield that ends up with the other enemy driving down the streets in our tanks and in our SUVs while we got to pay $3 and something for gas. What the what?
Yeah.
Somebody tell me why gas is going up. Do we have a shortage, fellas? Is there a shortage of gas in this country? Because at the moment, let me see, maybe it's the oil spill on the West Coast. I'm sorry. We have to have an excuse. So it's the oil spill in the Pacific Ocean that's washing up on the California coast, which is why our oil and gas prices are rising. Yeah,
well,
right.
This,
I want to show you the Brooklyn
Bridge.
This had
to be planned. You know, I will never forget, excuse me, Byron, but I remember distinctly, I want to go back maybe 6 years ago when Obama was still president, and he had said he was able to get the price of oil, particularly residential fuel oil, which is something I pay for. He said that no longer will there be the days of Americans having to pay $4 a gallon for oil or for gas and things like that, that those days were gone. And I look back at that, and I, you know, I keep it in the in my craw every time I think about all these changes that I see going back and forth. But it's a game. It is a game. It's an international game. And it's time for us to pay again. We're coming up on one of the worst winters based on someone's prognostication. I don't want to say the Farmer's Almanac, but all of a sudden now, you know, we're faced with this precipice. I stopped for gas today, man, $3.69 in some places in Westchester County, and you get closer to the city, you may find one or two people who are being honest, but you know, it's disturbing. You know, they're talking about a possible. Come again?
The cost of food is spiraling out of control.
Oh.
And you know why the cost of food is spiraling out of control? Because of the tariffs that were used as a when they in China and the rest of the world trying to do this America First concept. It blew up the chain sequence. When you see all those ships off the coast, can't get to the coast, don't have enough people to offload them.
And I'm puzzled by that. You know, I mean, the thing is that there are a lot of people who are, you know, they make the excuse that more and more young people today, they don't want to do jobs like that anymore. But to me, a job is a job. And even if they have to increase the level of pay to get people to offload those ships, somebody's got to do it. Not everybody's in community college.
Well, you know, that once again, you go overseas to send chicken that's raised in this country over to China to have them repack it and send it back to us so you can charge more for it. That's what's going on,
right,
by the way.
Yeah.
So at the point at which this is a failure. I heard Nancy Pelosi say this about a month ago. She says, the capitalist system has failed us. And what she was saying is that nobody actually picked up on, because we're always arguing the differences between communism and socialism and capitalism. But capitalism is operating under one concept that has kept it in business for ever since the Industrial Revolution, and that is it has to have slave labor or cheap labor to put the money into the pockets of the CEO. Wall Street is nothing but a Ponzi scheme to keep the big cat flush with cash.
Well, that's why this is one of the wealthiest countries on the planet. You know, it's sad, and with all of its wealth, we still don't get it right.
Because
we're
locked into the concept of slavery. It's a known fact. We can't pay enough. We can't pay. Why? Think about this. You don't have enough doctors, nurses, teachers, frontline people to teach our kids, service our sick. They're short on staff.
Right.
Why? Because the hospital administrators and the companies that own these hospital centers are greasing their pockets while you're paying a doctor. Think about this. You've asked a doctor to be on the line for 19 months now, almost 20 months with this pandemic, and been working how many hours a week for 2 years in a row, and you can't give them enough money to take a day off? You're working like a slave.
Yeah.
These people
and the quality of the care will suffer as a result of that.
Absolutely.
It has already suffered.
It's already suffered. And then when these frontline people start committing suicide, because the suicide rate is going up, if they'll call it mental illness, or these gun nuts out here shooting up people, they'll call it mental illness. Well, something is the action to the reaction.
Yeah.
And the action has a reaction. And if you didn't do this, then it wouldn't react in this manner. And those who keep perpetrating the notion that this is chaos, has to continue as a flow, are the ones who need to be put in jail, because they are thieves. They are stealing our lives. Not just killing us. They're stealing our lives.
Yeah.
And
well,
it's time
45
to have them
and his posse. They all need to be locked up. You know, all these idiots with these offshore accounts and how they're saving money, and our taxes are constantly going up, and they can't, you know, seem to come up with enough money because, you know. And I thought there was supposed to be some activity. I know Biden cannot do everything. But the bottom line is that this has been talked about for months now, for years. The fact that there's a lot of taxes that are just not coming back into the hands of the United States government that people have managed to hide, you know.
So Wayne, the burden of keeping a nation alive has to have some kind of regulated authority. Because if you're waiting on corporate America to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and give hope to the hopeless, those five elements don't come until somebody in the Treasury's office say, well, the profit margin is not enough for us, so we're just going to starve, create homelessness, we're going to have a pandemic, we're going to have people walking around who are mentally ill, and we have no hope for the little people or the middle class, because you decided that all of it, this wealth and goodness was to be for you and you alone, because you got wealth. That's where we are right now.
Yeah. Scary.
Yes,
real
it is
scary.
Very scary. And then you understand that 1% of the wealth of the world is it mostly centered in the billionaires of Wall Street. Most of the wealth of the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So at some point, some point, we really have a screwed up system that I don't know if you really can fix it, because at the point of which, as I said earlier, that if you're not willing, the United States of America, if you're not willing to drop the hammer like you did with the Union Army going down and smashing the Confederacy, because this time, if you don't do it right this time and squash the roach and kill it, it will continue to keep metastasizing and the cancer will overtake you because you chose not to do law and order for everybody.
Hey,
that's a good
justice
point.
Delayed is justice denied.
That's a good point, Byron. You know, people have to be willing to do, what did you say again? People have to be willing to do what they're, to get it done, you know?
Yes.
And
once again, you have a Steve Bannon walking around here like, I'm not going to go do this. Like, who the hell is he? Who does he think he is?
He's
you see,
a
at
white
that
man
point,
in America.
You're spitting in Lady Liberty's eye. No, I'm sorry. Spitting is not. You're taking a crap on her.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, well, if they ever really...
No, he's backed up. He's not even in that zone, you know. He's so full of it. I mean, it's unfortunate, you know. But it'll catch up with him. This is all theatrics. This is the reincarnate of Rush Limbaugh.
Now, Wayne, I will ask you though. Like you were having your conversation with your friend last night, and I can imagine the dialogue going back and forth. But at the end of the conversation, it has to be still asked that if you don't put the stop on the criminality of those in charge, you can't expect those underneath to fix it. You can't.
Yeah.
Like we're seeing right now, we are seeing it in our very front of our eyes, a Justice Department, the one that's supposed to be in charge of the law and the order, compromised to the point where not so much that were they guilty? Hell yes, they are guilty of treason. They were plotting it.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and the thing is, and again, I'm not trying to throw shade even on my, because it was one of my cousins, and you know, he's a music man. He's done it for years.
Yes.
Know a few people, yeah. But, you know, the deal is that even if I had access to Al Sharpton tonight, and I told him to go tell what he wanted me to carry out, process does not work that way, you know? And I understand your frustration because I read the same things, hear the same newscast that a lot of people who feel, well, why are we still discussing this? Because not enough is being done, and when it comes time for us to really be proactive and to vote to get these idiots out of there, like Manchin, for instance, I think he is as useless as a pair. Well, I don't want to sound, you know, insulting, but the you know, he's, to me, I just don't see where we're going.
He's useful to some people. He has an objective. He has
he has use, but I mean, even his constituency has been vetted out, and a lot of them don't agree with what he's saying. So
it doesn't make a difference. He's not
just
beholden to them. He's beholden to the people who put him in office. He's an oil man.
Yeah, the Koch brothers, people like that, you know.
He owns, and like
and that gal in Arizona, that. The same routine, and they call themselves Democrats. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, I have to go back to, I don't know if you had said this earlier, maybe I was in conversation last night that came up how Biden challenged Bernie Sanders. Well, since you want to be president and you seem to represent the ideals of the Democratic Party, well, be a Democrat. Don't be independent. Mm. You know, let's fight this together. You know, don't do things to split us. And but you know, it as much as I feel optimistic, I just feel at the same time the same frustration that prompted the call from my cousin and other people, and just hearing what you said at the very top of the show, Eric, I mean, it spoke volumes. I mean, it resonates with all those who are frustrated And you really don't want to engage in the name calling, you know, but I understand your frustration, you know? Mm-hmm. And that is, therein lies the problem, that the process, I think, sometimes moves way too slow. To me, this whole the whole controversy with the infrastructure bill, you know, there should be no kind, but is there enough information about it? Are people prepared and understand the importance of what? Have you crossed the bridge that is falling apart? Do you need, another catastrophe to happen?
That's the thing. You know, for some, or you're against something. And that's the people talk about why things move so slowly in Congress, because people who are against things that don't want to come out and exactly say they're against stuff because it might make, how it would make them look, but they'll put certain things in place to gum up the works and to sabotage those things, just like they sabotaged Obama's Supreme Court picks, and just like the Republicans are trying to do now when they didn't want to say the Democrats will have to raise the debt ceiling on their own. They're hoping for failure. They're not the people that, when the other side gets elected, wins the election, they're not the people that hope they win. They're the people that hope they lose, right?
Right.
They're the people that hope
hope
the worst things go on in the country during the administration of a Democratic president. They hope that stuff happens. They're not patriots. They're not hoping the new president does the best, regardless of what party is in. They're not rallying behind the new president afterwards. But, you know, that's who they are. Before, we got about 3.5 minutes to go. Before we go, Kyrie
Irving.
Already,
wow.
Kyrie Irving, Wayne, what do you think about Kyrie Irving's...
Well, as I was telling my sister earlier, I'm not from the Kyrie Irving School of Science, but I do understand his point about it's not always money, but I'm sorry. You were given an opportunity, you know, and you're a role model. I don't care what you may think. You're in the public's eye. People look to that configuration of what that team is built upon. You know, I mean, last year we were able to do it without him, with Kevin Durant and James Harden. But, you know, the deal is the game plan from the very beginning, you know, for them to be on top was to have those three dominant forces in play, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't get it, you know. I don't understand where he's getting his and the fact that and I said I'm about to call him Lou Alcindor. What the hell? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kareem.
Yeah, what? Forgive me. I think of his cousin Alcindor, who comes on with the news. But the bottom line is that to me, you couldn't think of. And I think Michael Jordan has already said something about, you know, about that. You know, I mean, what are you proving?
I think that's his choice, but I also think that when you are, you know, like I know a lot of people who don't want to get vaccinated. I have relatives that don't, but I think that they have a lack of exhibits a lack of believing in the science or the real facts.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, considering when you consider something, the worst that could happen is someone could die. Then you might want to change up. Plus, also, it's a whole lot of bigger responsibilities to him. He's on a team, part of a team. But we need to say goodbye because we have about a minute and 16 seconds. So, Byron Saunders, you want to give people your send-off, my brother?
It's always a pleasure to be giving you the news and the blues from D.C. But the good hope is that we are a majority. Start acting like it, people. We don't have to take sides with the minority. They are a voiceless terrorist group at this moment. America does not negotiate with terrorists. Remember that.
There it is, Brother Byron Saunders. We'll talk to you soon, Brother Byron. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman, give the people your final thoughts.
Hey, I'm like Jesse Jackson. Keep hope alive, man. That's all we could do. I echo the sentiments of Byron Saunders and others. Keep hope
all
alive.
Right. There it is, from the legendary newsman, Wayne Gilman. We'll talk again, Wayne.
All right, brother.
All right.
Hang in there.
This has been Kay's Son and Friends. I'm Kay's Son. Those are our friends, Wayne Gilman and Byron Saunders, two brothers that are very astute and need to be paid attention to when they speak. That's Chuck D and them, Public Enemy. Welcome to the Terror Dome. because we ain't going out like no suckers. And those that think they're, well, I'll just leave it like that. Don't get it twisted. Case Center Friends, I'm Citizen Payne. We'll talk again.